You're listening to Packers Talk Network. Packers Talk.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
This is Titletown Sound.
Prepare yourself for overwhelming intelligence.
He's going to look like Gronk riding a unicorn carrying a lightsaber.
I know how toast works.
Clay Matthews, squirrel whisperer.
Your squirrel-aiming game is not strong.
The turd cheeseburger could come back.
If one of us wants to pee on it, sure.
I'm not bailing you out on that.
I was acting unprofessionally.
I'm just here to ruin things.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 95 of Titletown Sound, the Bryce Pop edition of the show.
Nice.
Bobo is here. Also here is the second place winner in the Jeremy Vanderlinden lookalike contest. It's Chris Christofko. Chris, how you doing?
I had to work on that beard for like 6 months.
I'll bet you did. The big beard. We also have the third place winner of the Jeremy Vanderlinden lookalike contest. It's James Korsmo. James, how are you doing?
I'm well, Bobo. Thanks for asking.
Very good. And last but not least, we have the winner of the Jeremy Vanderlinden lookalike contest, Jeremy Vanderlinden. Jeremy, you're back!
It took a lot of work to look like Jeremy Vanderlinden. I put in many, many, many years of time, roughly 31? I think 31. Yeah, 31 years.
All right. And on this edition of the podcast, Jeremy is going to tell us why he's in a closet right now, where he's been for the last 6 months or whatever, and who his lawyer is that let him stay in jail for all that time. But first things first, it's time to sound off.
It's time to sound off.
The Packers season is over. It's not the way we thought it would go. Aaron Rodgers is one of the best quarterbacks in NFL history. He has a stacked receiver core and one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. Yet here we sit, watching the Falcons dance their way into the Super Bowl in a downpour of confetti and Gatorade. So what the hell happened? Dom Capers draws a lot of hate. Sometimes deservedly so. Sometimes a lot of it comes from the guys at Titletown Sound Off. Sometimes a lot of it comes from me. Since the time Capers showed up in Green Bay, we've seen some very inconsistent defenses. There was a time when it seemed like the defense would never make another clean tackle. It took years, literally years, to clean up that mess. Remember the time that it looked like Dom fell asleep in the booth? Yeah, me too. Remember all the times that Dom dialed up a three-man rush, and then the defense just gave up a big play? Yeah, me too. But to be honest with you, I can't, in good conscience, put all the blame for the defensive issues on Dom Capers. How could Dom ever succeed with a defensive unit that has an extreme lack of talent and depth? The lack of depth and the void of talent falls on the shoulders of one man, Ted Thompson. One thing the defense has always struggled to do is cover the middle of the field. You know what would help that? Athletic, high-quality inside linebackers. Back in May, Elliot Wolf told the world that Ted and his staff, they didn't think inside linebacker was as big of a need as the media said it was. Ted has never put a high level of importance on the inside linebacker position. But we don't have to look very far to see how stupid that line of thinking is. When Clay Matthews was forced to move to inside linebacker a few seasons back, it improved the defense. Why? Because Clay Matthews is an athletic, high-quality football player. Now, I'm not saying the Packers need to just go out and find another Clay Matthews. That would be hard to do. It's not that simple. But if you never take a shot at one early in the draft, you're never going to find one. Ever, ever, ever. Never, ever. Now, let's take a moment to count the number of actual 3-4 outside linebackers on this team. One. Clay Matthews. That's it. Ted has spent high draft picks to bring in 4-3 defensive ends, and then in turn expected the coaching staff to be able to transition these guys to 3-4 outside linebacker. The point here is this. Dom Capers has never had a full deck to work with. Ted has never given him one. This team went down to Atlanta and showed us what they are. A team with too many UPS drivers on one side of the football. A team that depends on its offense to score points every single time they touch the field. The Green Bay Packers are a one-trick pony. Aaron Rodgers willed the Packers to all 21 points they scored down in Atlanta. In fact, Aaron Rodgers willed this team to run the table all by himself. In the end, it wasn't enough. The defense failed to help Rodgers close the deal, and the season came crashing to a halt. You cannot win championships with one great player. You cannot win championships with a one-sided football team. After a vicious beating at the hands of the Atlanta Falcons in the NFC Championship, Aaron Rodgers told the media that the Packers didn't need to rebuild. They need to reload. Aaron said the team has to make sure they're going all in every year to win. This is not a shot at other players on the team. This is not Aaron asking the coaching staff to commit to going all in. Aaron is addressing Ted Thompson. It's time for the Packers to go all in. With or without Ted.
All right, and of course, feel free to let us know if you have any comments on that. And meanwhile, we're going to get into the meat of the show here. Of course, we got to talk about the game that was the Packers losing big to Atlanta. Not the result we wanted, obviously, but what can you do? So, it was a tough loss, certainly a score that we were not expecting, but we got to ask the question.
Hey, what happened?
So, James, I have to ask. I'll go to you first.
Hey, what happened?
Oh, a lot of things happened. A lot of things happened, and not a lot of them were very good. The Packers came in, and they looked like they just rolled out of bed, threw on some pads, and decided they were going to play a game of football. Especially in the secondary, they looked pitiful. It was just awful. The first quarter was just one of the worst quarters of football I've seen all year, and it was the NFC Championship game. I don't know what happened, other than the fact that Mason Crosby missed a field goal, and then my boo fumbled at the 2-yard line. And how that was not a safe how that was not a safety on the Falcons, I'll never know. But whatever.
That's a safety at Lambeau, by the way. Definitely.
Yeah, that's absolutely a safety at Lambeau. The guy grabbed the ball, started to stand up, rolled into the end zone, and fell back down. Whatever. That would have made it, 112-26. So, it was awful.
All right, Chris, your thoughts.
I felt like it was a team that ran out of gas. From 4-6 to winning the North to, winning two playoff games, one in dramatic fashion. It was almost as if they were just out of gas. And that secondary that had been playing on kind of a wing and a prayer, just cobbling things together and playing, somewhat effectively, certainly bending but not breaking, they just broke. And they broke hard, and it all happened at once. You almost knew when Mason Crosby missed a field goal, like, God, this is not going to be a good day. And then the Ripper fumbles. And I just want everyone on Twitter to know, if you said that the game turned on the Ripper fumble, I wrote down your Twitter handle. I know who you are. It was not the man's fault. No, but really, it was a team that was just they looked unprepared. I don't know if it was mentally, if they were actually unprepared game plan wise, but they had no answer on defense. Literally, I mean, they made Matt Ryan look like Johnny Unitas and Joe Montana had a love child, and that child played against the Packers, and he couldn't be stopped. It was demoralizing. I wanted a more competitive game, but I kept thinking, oh, it'll turn around, and it just never did.
Jeremy, what are your thoughts?
So what happened was Aaron Rodgers played like a complete monster on a team that was full of babies and amputees. And amputee babies, which is tragic.
Welcome back.
It just was, injuries. The injuries, the injuries finally caught up. I mean, it was bound to happen. We watched this team all season. It was like every other week somebody important was on the ground. I mean, maybe it was every week. There was a time where the list of players that were missing games, it was like five key players at a time for like 5 weeks were missing football games this year. And it just continued on and on and on, and it never let up. And that playoff game came, and then it was like, oh, the all of the top receivers are going to be on the injury report, except for Randall Cobb, which, by the way, Randall Cobb last year couldn't do squat without the other guys. So that, I mean, it just caught up to him. It's just too much.
You know what? I'm going to disagree, because that secondary was, you know, healthier than it's been, and they had more pieces than they've had. And I hate the injury excuse, because yeah, injuries affected this team, but what mm-hmm. affected this team, especially in the secondary, is a lack of talent.
Right. Well, let's look at that the way that we looked at the wide receivers from last year and how they turned out this year. Jordy Nelson missed all of last season, and the wide receivers were crap. It was just a group of garbage receivers. That's just what that turned out to be. This season, I think the same exact thing happened with the corner group. When Sam Shields went down, they just never recovered. It was the same garbage with second-year players who played like Devontae Adams did last year, and they just never, ever recovered. Quentin Rollins was banged up for a while. Demarius Randall was banged up all season. And by the way, Demarius Randall, I don't know if it's just because of the injuries, and I'm hoping you have a Devontae Adams year next year, but you need to freaking hit somebody. You need to start being okay with hitting somebody, because you're in the NFL. You cannot avoid physical contact in the NFL. And he doesn't seem to like to touch people. So that needs to be corrected. And you're right. The corner group sucked, but it started with a big injury to Sam Shields, and then more injuries throughout the group. Morgan Burnett dealing with injuries all season. He almost didn't play last week. Too many injuries destroyed that secondary, but the big problem isn't just the secondary. That defense doesn't have enough talent. Simple as that.
All right, a lot of the blame for not just the Atlanta loss, but the 4-6 start and a lot of problems the Packers had this year. Two main names that come up, Dom Capers and Ted Thompson, both guys we've talked about a fair amount on the show already this season. So, Jeremy, I'll throw it to you first. Dom Capers versus Ted Thompson. If you can only get rid of one of them, who's it going to be?
I'm getting rid of Ted. And I said it in the sound off. It's not because Ted has been a bad GM. Ted Thompson deserves a lot of credit. Remember what the defense looked like years ago when it was, Nick Collins and Charles Woodson and Ryan Pickett and B.J. Raji, it was just a good list of guys and a good list of playmakers, and they did what they needed to do. It wasn't a complete defense. It was never necessarily a complete defense, but he had enough playmakers to make a difference and help that defense to play well. Now what he's been putting on the field for the last, what, 2-3 years for personnel has been terrible. I just think it's time. It's time to make a change and do something other than Ted Thompson, and I don't think he's going to be fired. That's not going to happen. We talked about that a lot this year. I think he's going to have to retire. He's going to have to move on, and I don't know if that's going to happen. He's at the Senior Bowl right now, so we'll see.
Now, James, who would you get rid of between Capers and Thompson?
Well, I would get rid of Thompson for two reasons. One, so that maybe we'll have somebody in the front office who will actually go look for players that can actually play now and not 5 years from now, maybe. And two, so they can fire Dom Capers themselves.
Good point.
Because they both need to go, and for different reasons, but they both need to go. And the GM is just more important. It's a more important spot, I think, because he puts the people on the field. And he drafts and looks at the free agents and doesn't sign them, or maybe does if you're at an actual successful, like, Super Bowl winning team. I love Ted. Put him in the Ring of Honor, but see ya.
Yeah, I think a good point there. If there's going to be a 2-for-1 deal, you got to get rid of Ted to get the Dom Capers in that package. Chris, how about you? Who are you getting rid of?
I'm getting rid of Ted Thompson, so it's a clean sweep, and I think it's a pretty easy decision. Again, this doesn't mean that Ted Thompson was never a very good GM, was never a great GM. It means that his time has passed. And I say his time has passed mainly because I don't think he ever adjusted to the new CBA. The new CBA, you have to find playmakers in their first couple of years, because that's when you're not paying them anything. You can't wait until they're ready for that second contract, or then you're going to overpay for your own talent. So with the rookie salary caps, you got to find those disposable players that can have an impact that may never get to a second contract, but play important points, and you've got to use free agency. You don't have to kill it. You don't have to go over the top. You don't have to waste money, but you got to fill holes and gaps with free agency, and we're about to approach the free agency portion of the offseason, and we'll all get our hopes up. We'll come up with outlandish list. Stay tuned. We'll have an outlandish list at some time in the next several weeks of free agents that maybe the Packers will sign. We'll go through free agency and they'll sign some guy that you thought was already out of the league. You know, that's Ted Thompson doesn't do free agency. It just doesn't work anymore. I think his time's past. I think it's time for him to go. This team is too stagnant and it can't afford to waste any more of Aaron Rodgers' years.
All right. The next question, kind of touching on Aaron Rodgers there. Would Aaron Rodgers take a restructured deal, or should he perhaps take a restructured deal, free up a little bit of money so that the Packers could actually go sign some free agents and, you know, start to make that big change that we need? Because the Packers not in bad shape now, but they need to make a couple moves. So, Chris, I'll throw that to you first. Do you think Rodgers should take a restructured deal?
No. I think it's absolutely ridiculous. He is arguably the best quarterback ever to play the game, which means he's arguably the best player to ever play the game, the most valuable player, not only in his team, but on the, you know, in the league, a player that could change any franchise instantly, even though he's in his 30s. And to expect him to take a restructured deal so that they can sign more free agents when they haven't done enough to sign free agents to support him while he's been there is asinine. The salary cap will expand, will go up with the new, with TV money, and it'll increase enough that the Packers are in reasonable shape. And you don't have to go crazy in free agency. But I think it would be foolish to think that he should restructure a deal knowing that he arguably should be paid more than any NFL player anywhere. He arguably should hold out every year that someone has a contract that gets paid more than him and say, I'm better than that person, pay me more. I would argue that side before I would argue that he has to restructure so that they can sign more free agents.
All right. Jeremy, what do you think?
I brought this up, and Chris obviously didn't like it because he disagrees with it. But here's the thing. I think should is a terrible word to describe what we're talking about here. No, he shouldn't. He is the best quarterback in the league, and he's one of the best quarterbacks in the history of the league. So no, should is not the right word. I hope he does. Tom Brady did it for the Patriots, and here's the thing. There's a caveat to it. Aaron Rodgers isn't taking a pay cut unless they're going to use the money. They have to sign free agents if he's going to do it. And so, should he? No. Do I want him to? Yes, but only if Ted's actually going to go after somebody. If you remember Brett Favre, anybody here remember Brett Favre? I think we all do.
He was in something about that. Something about Mary, right?
Yes, but he
quarterback for the Jets.
He wears Wranglers, yes. Right?
Yes.
Nose hair trimmer.
Yes.
Yeah, he manscapes regularly, I believe.
Yes. And copper fit. Anyway, so
he's an avid texter, right?
Yes, avid texter. He loves sending pictures. He's somewhat of a photographer. Anyways, all the joking aside, we love and respect Brett Favre for everything he did. But Brett Favre begged for Ted Thompson to bring in Randy Moss. Begged for it. Now, Randy Moss is kind of that dude's got a screw loose. Ted Thompson's not going to go near a guy like Randy Moss. But Brett begged for Ted to go get somebody, and Ted never did. Would Aaron get the same treatment if he were to beg? I don't think so. I think it's like son versus stepson. Brett Favre was never actually Ted Thompson's child, you know? So he's going to favor his boy. He drafted Aaron Rodgers, and if Aaron Rodgers says, listen, Ted, I'd like you to go do this, Ted might consider it. And I'll take a pay cut for you to do it. I want you to do this, and I'll take a pay cut. Ted might do it. So I hope he does. I hope he considers it.
All right, Rodgers restructuring deal. James, what do you think?
I see where Jeremy's coming from, but I agree with some of what he says. But if I'm Aaron Rodgers and
Ted Thompson approaches me and says, "Hey, look, can we restructure? I'll use some of your money to bring some people in." I would look square in the eye at him and say, "Talk to Clay first."
Boom! Burn!
That just happened.
Pain.
Honestly, I mean, Aaron Rodgers has produced more at his position than any other quarterback probably in the last 5 or 6 years. Maybe other than Drew Brees, but he plays in New Orleans. Nobody cares about him. And Clay Matthews over the last few years has really, really declined. And he's owed $13-something million next year. Yeah. Or the Packers could cut him for $4 million. Now, who has the leverage there? The Packers do. So, you know, why on earth would we talk about taking away Aaron's money when he's the one bringing the money into Green Bay to begin with, when there's somebody sucking the soul out of the team on the other side of the field?
Here's the thing. I don't want Ted to ask Aaron to take a pay cut. I want Aaron to offer it. I think if Ted goes and asks, that's wrong. Ted should never ask Aaron to take a pay cut. It should be something that Aaron does of his free will.
In the cards.
He wanted to be skinny and attractive. It's not in the cards. But Aaron, I'm not saying that Aaron would, but I don't think Aaron wouldn't do that. Tom Brady did it, and Tom Brady is one of the best quarterbacks to have ever played the game. And part of that is the fact that he wanted to win so badly that he would offer that kind of change. But here's the thing. One more thing. You bring up Clay Matthews, and I think that's a good point. But I want it all. Okay, I want my cake. I want to eat it too. I want Clay to take a pay cut. I want Aaron to offer to take a pay cut. And I want to spend that money on some free agents. That's what I want.
Can I be that guy for a second?
Please do.
Okay. Tom Brady also has a $450 million wife sitting at home. So to him, I don't think it's about money. It's about championships. So it's really easy for him to say, you know what? I'll take a pay cut.
But it's the reality is, hold on. The reality is, I don't think he ever took a pay cut. He restructured.
Right.
He never lost money in the deal.
Well, you know, they shimmy the money this way and that way to make it work. And that's the thing. I'm not asking for Rodgers to take less money, less than what he's worth. I'm just asking for them to possibly rework his deal so that it would benefit the team so that they could make a change. And I think, look, I think Aaron is worth whatever he's making. Whatever Aaron's making, he's worth it. He's probably worth more. But in order to win, sometimes sacrifices have to be made, and Aaron wants to win, and he wants to win right now. If he showed up in Ted's office, if he and Clay showed up in Ted's office at the same time and said, "Hey, Ted, we want to restructure both of our deals and sign a free agent," Ted might do it.
That sounds like an amazing beginning to erotic fanfic.
It really does. Can we throw Ripper and Gronk in there, too, somehow?
Oh, no.
I'm listening.
No.
I hate you guys so much.
Like, we got the sensory thing out.
Who needs pants?
You do have a point there.
No.
All right. I'm going to try to change subjects here so we can stay on the internet. The overall question we have to ask at the end of the season here, ultimately, as difficult a loss as this was for many of us to digest, was the season overall a success? James, I will throw that to you. Was the 2016 Packers campaign a success?
Oh, you know, that's a difficult question for me because it's really difficult for me as a fan and as somebody, and I'll admit it, I'm spoiled. And I feel like every year that we have Aaron Rodgers and we have a decent offense around him should be a year that we're in the Super Bowl. So it's hard for me to say it's a success. However, the last 9 weeks of the season leading up until the NFC Championship game were the most fun watching football I think I've had in years, maybe in the Aaron Rodgers era. So from that standpoint, yes, I think it was a success. Plus, I think it might be the catalyst for some change where change needs to happen, hopefully. Hopefully with Ted, but who knows. It's a success. It's just not as successful as I'd like to be.
All right. Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to come at it from the same perspective. It was just fun as hell when they went on the run the table run, and I thought Rodgers was insane. I thought there's no chance they make the playoffs. It was just entertaining, and that Dallas game was worth it. You know, that alone was kind of worth the price of admission for the season. They went ups and downs, and it was entertaining, and you saw bad football and good football, and you were able to destroy the hopes of the Detroit Lions and various other members of the NFC North. Yeah, I mean, it was a hell of an entertaining season, so from that respect, it was a success. You almost feel like any you know, non-Super Bowl year with Aaron Rodgers seems like a failure. But I think it did expose some real problems that have to be dealt with, and hopefully they will be. And in that respect, it may be, you know, an even further success that takes them a little bit closer to where they need to be in the next couple of years.
Okay. Jeremy, was the season a success for you?
Yes, absolutely. You know, it's one of those things where it's like a sloppy win. It's like a win is a win, okay? And sometimes it's dirty and it sucks to watch, but they win it. And they did that this year. It's a success on multiple levels. They got to the NFC Championship. They won the division. That's fantastic. But one of the best coaches in the league got his team back. He worked his way to having his team back. And you don't want to lose a guy like Mike McCarthy when he's got his team. You want to keep him. Okay, so that's a success. Mike McCarthy's got his team back in the fold. They're listening to him, and everything's going the way it should. Now, let's move on to the next year and try to reload this team and put in more players. So I think it was an absolute success. Crazy at times, sucky at times, fun to watch, successful.
Very good. And I would concur. I think overall a successful season. Certainly one we will remember for quite some time to come. And before we go to break, Chris, I'm going to throw it over to you because I know you got a couple things you got to mention before the break.
I do. A couple of things. First, the real big one to start with is this is our last episode that'll be on the Packers Talk Network. So we've been telling you for a few weeks, if you want to keep listening to the show, and who wouldn't, you've got to start following us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever it is that you get your podcasts delivered. Follow us so that you'll be on our iTunes feed, our Google Play feed, whatever. Because if you're on Packers Talk Network, you're gonna lose us after this week. So make sure that you're subscribed. That really helps, and we want to keep you guys listening.
Real quick, if our feed isn't on where you listen to Packers Talk Radio Network, let us know. We can get that figured out and get our stuff on there. Just shoot us a message. Tweet at us, at Titletown Sound. We can be wherever you want us to be, okay? But you can find our feed pretty much anywhere.
Yeah, I don't even know what that means. That's confusing. But if you're having trouble finding us, yeah, tweet at us, email us, you know, smoke signals, whatever it takes. The second is I want to say thank you and give a shout out to our first patron of the show, and that is Daniel Beetle, best guy ever, whatever. I'm not sure exactly how to pronounce his last name, but we're really
appreciative. It's like Rusty.
Exactly.
It's like Rusty. We don't know how to say it. We'll never know.
But we are appreciative. So we want to thank Dan, and his Twitter handle, if you're not following him, you should be, is NHPackersFan447. That's at NHPackersFan447. Give him a follow. We really appreciate it. If you want to be a patron, if you want to support the show, now that we're independent, we got to pay for all our own costs, all our own hosting, all that good stuff. So please, patreon.com/TTSO is where you'll find us, and you get some great bonus content, and we've got something planned for the Super Bowl. I think hopefully we'll be able to pull off that you guys will like.
All right, people, by the way, outside the Titletown Sound Studios are applauding, so I'm going to go ahead and hit that button for Dan. That's for you, buddy. Thank you. And on that note, we will go now to a break. Stick around, because more Titletown Sound coming up, Twitter questions and voicemails, and a lot of very interesting opinions from you guys this week, so stick around.
You're soft, you're sloppy. They calling me Poppy. I'm rolling in bands, you riding around in a beat up jalop.
Hey, dog.
Bros want a cop, but they are just not. I'm up in the club, stacking the ducks, and stuck in a lot. I'm hot
like sore. Bobo here once again to tell you about What's the Score, the Sports News Quiz. If you haven't checked out their podcast yet, I'll give you an idea of what you're missing. What's the Score is a sports trivia show quizzing listeners and panelists alike on the sporting news of the week. And sometimes they have shows dedicated to a single topic, such as the Super Bowl, or Christmas, or highlight championships. Okay, maybe not highlight championships, but they're all fun, and there are terrific people on the panel each and every week. Recent episodes have had Milwaukee Admirals announcer Aaron Sims, News Talk 1130's Dan O'Donnell, and WTMJ.com Preps Live announcer Barry Nelson. Even our own James Corsmo has been a panelist a few times. Their website? WTSSportsQuiz.com. Again, that's WTSSportsQuiz.com. So please check out What's the Score. They're friends of ours, and we think they would admit to being our friends too. And consider being a contestant on the show. It won't hurt, I promise.
Hey, Titletown Sound listeners. As you've heard on the last few shows, we made a bit of a change. We're going independent, and we need your support. You can support us by visiting www.patreon.com/TTSO. For a small donation, you'll get some bonus content and early access to our show. And if you don't want to donate any money, we get it. You can still help us in an important way. Go to iTunes and give us a rating and a review. Your 5-star ratings really help the show and help us become more visible. So thanks for all your support. Keep downloading and listen for new episodes every week.
The darndest thing was the police never caught us. So Jeremy and I got off scot-free, and oh boy, I'll tell you, that Burger King never knew what hit it. I'm sure that bathroom was never the same again.
Oh,
we're back. Titletown Sound back with you. Thanks for sticking with us through the break. I'm sure you're very anxious to hear your Twitter opinions. You didn't know you had Twitter opinions, did you? Well, you do. Now you know. We got a mess of them here. Question went out on at Titletown Sound earlier today. What do you think Clay Matthews' future is or should be with the Packers? Tweet us your answer. And I'll name a few of you here. At GnomeFighter3D simply said, adios. Quick and to the point. At JWG1213 said he's either with the Packers at a much lower price, or he's not with the Packers. Nicholas Willoughby said something similar. He needs to take a pay cut, or it is time for him to move on, whether that is by trading him or cutting him. Our friend Glauber, at Glauber_Hollanda, said move to middle linebacker and with a new defensive coordinator, I hope. At James Duginsky said restructure and play inside linebacker, or he needs to go. Can be successful there. Isn't the pass rusher he used to be not worth $15 million? And at Amanda Lanch said, I don't care all that much either way, but if he stays, he should wear fewer clothes. Hashtag dat booty.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. That's my wife.
Oh, what?
That's my wife's tweet. I was unaware that she was into that booty.
Oh, man.
I'm going to have to get myself a blonde wig, it sounds like.
Oh, no.
That's going to be some extra content on the Patreon account, I think. we'll discuss that later. Anyway. James, I'm going to throw it to you first. What do you think the future is or should be with the Packers? I read a few tweets there. Yay, nay. You mentioned the restructuring deal, actually. A few tweeters agree with you. So what other thoughts you got on Clay Matthews?
God, I'm trying to get that visual out of my head of Chris and a blonde wig. I just can't.
No.
I can't. This is no. Oh, my God.
I toss my lightly wetted hair over my shoulder.
No.
Oh, people outside the TTSO sound booth here are retching.
People inside the sound booth are retching.
This is why I keep my mind empty, so that I don't imagine Chris in a wig, okay? It's terrifying.
Hashtag that booty.
God. Okay,
get them a bucket or something.
Oh my God! So to bring it back, somehow, yeah, I think he needs to restructure. He's getting paid for results that he's not producing. He was hurt, yes, but he wasn't playing well before he got hurt, and he's not he doesn't produce as much as he used to. All he real his main thing that he does now is make Nick Perry better, to be honest. So restructure him, and I would try moving him to the middle, because good Lord, it couldn't hurt at this point. He's played well in the middle. Jake Ryan is a good middle linebacker. Blake Martinez is okay, but Clay makes them better there. That's just my opinion.
All right, Chris, what do you think?
You're really going to have to restructure and pay him a lot less if you're going to put him in the middle, just because of, you know, the value of that position, or at least what it pays. But I don't know. I think Clay Matthews is still a somewhat effective pass rusher, especially when he's healthy. I mean, look, that's the challenge. Keep him healthy. But we've seen how much better Nick Perry was, how much better the pass rush was in general, even if Clay himself wasn't getting the results. But the bottom line is he is getting way too much money. So they've got to do something if they want to keep him, if they want to make it a value. They can't overpay him. And that's one time where they're going to have to approach him and say, you know, it doesn't make sense. Let's restructure the deal. You know, maybe they extend it and do one of those kind of prove it deals. But I agree with almost everybody who says it's time to try to restructure and get a better value out of Clay Matthews.
Jeremy, what do you think?
I think that they do need to restructure. Step one. Here's the thing. I'd love for Clay to move to the middle. I think he played really well at inside linebacker, and it would be great to see him there in more of a full-time role. But when you look at the rest of this roster, if he's at inside linebacker, it's going to be Dayton Jones and Kyler Fackrell at outside linebacker, depending on who they draft and who they bring in or who they re-sign, whatever. But let's say best case scenario there, they draft a rookie and re-sign Nick Perry, and then it's Dayton Jones and Nick Perry at outside linebacker. It's still not good. So I would love for Clay to play inside, but I think what they do is they restructure him. And like Chris said, inside linebacker, it's a lower valued position. And so you pay him a little bit more than an inside linebacker, and you have him play both positions, because I think where Clay is most effective is where he is somebody you have to track down in the defense. Where the heck did they put Clay Matthews now? Okay. I think putting him at inside and outside and rotating him in those positions is a good idea, but definitely a restructure.
Yeah, and I saw some tweeters say, you know, let's get a one for him. Let's dispel that rumor. You're not getting a one. You're not getting a two. You're probably not getting a three, are you? I mean, just because of the value of the contract, you got to pay so much that the value is lost for the team receiving him. I don't know what you'd get in a trade, but it's not going to be a whole lot. So, you know, get the idea that you're going to get a marquee trade position, you know, trade pick out of him. It's just not going to happen. You're not going to get.
Yeah, I thought you were actually turning into LeBron James for a second there. Not three. Not a four, not a five.
Well, as I said that, I flopped off my couch onto the floor as well.
I believe it. Jeremy, you were going to say.
I don't mean to laugh. It's just fans love to trade the names they recognize from their team for a first-round pick. So according to the standards of Green Bay Packers fans, they could probably trade Jeff Janis right now for a three or a two. You know, it's Clay Matthews is a name that you know, but the value that is there is nowhere near a first pick right now. It's not, and he's never healthy. He's always hurt. Teams know that. They're not going to want to trade a first-round pick for an aging outside linebacker who is always, always, always hurt. It's not going to happen.
All right, we had a couple of tweets here from @KSKrug and @HeilJosh. Both asking about the future of Dom Capers, and Josh asked, what do you think are the realistic odds that we get rid of Capers? So I guess if we had to put percentages on this, James, what kind of a percentage would you say are the chances of Dom Capers being here week one next season?
It really depends on if Ted Thompson's here. If Ted Thompson's here, it's -40%. There's no way that Dom's going. Dom has some sort of inside information on Ted Thompson. He's blackmailing him every year. There's no other. He's a cockroach. You can't kill him. He won't die. He won't go away. Maybe it's the toupee. Maybe there's some sort of like force field in the toupee that keeps the guy away, that like gives him his walking papers. The guy like gets by the door. Oh,
it's like an anti-Turk toupee.
Exactly.
That is a theory. It's a theory I haven't even explored.
I mean, I think it's as good as any, honestly.
Absolutely. Yeah,
so you know, Dom, if Ted Thompson's here, Dom is here. They're a package.
Chris, what's the percentage for you?
He's a package, all right. I think if Ted Thompson is here, there is a 70% chance that Dom Capers returns. I still think there's a reasonable chance that he doesn't, either that he retires or that he's asked to retire or forced to retire. If no Ted Thompson, I think Dom Capers is a casualty. I think there's a very good chance, because we didn't really discuss this, but Elliot Wolf is now interviewing with the Colts. There's a very good chance that because of that, there is, you know, that Ted does kind of move into a consulting role. Elliot Wolf becomes the GM, and they have one of those transition years where the GM keeps the previous GM's coach. And so we have Mike McCarthy, but maybe we shake up the coaching staff a little bit to get Elliot, you know, his hands into the system. So if there's no Ted Thompson, I give it a 30% chance that Dom returns.
All right, Jeremy, how about you?
If there is Ted Thompson, I don't think he's leaving. If there is no Ted Thompson, I will say 50-50. I think Dom has had a lot of years now where his defense hasn't had the personnel that he needs. And yes, there are things that Dom does that makes me want to rip my hair out. But Mike does it too. You know, the third and one for years where they would run a draw play with John Kuhn. Oh my gosh, punch me in the face. The stretch play that they love to do with Eddie Lacy, which makes no freaking sense. The toss, you know, just there's a list. And Dom Capers has his list too. And yes, I would love to see somebody who's maybe a little more aggressive than Dom as defensive coordinator. But before that happens,
he ran a two-man rush.
This is the thing. Yeah, that's on the list.
A two-man rush.
It's on the list, Chris. It's on the list.
That's two less guys than are on this podcast right now. and they were just as effective.
Okay, I just think. Look at the numbers they put up in the first few years of Dom being here when they had all those guys, all those playmakers on the defense. Not bad. I mean, really not bad. And that sounds good to me. But where they're currently at, I don't think Dom should be the defensive coordinator because I don't think they should be running a 3-4 anymore. I think they're built more for a 4-3 defense. They have the personnel to run a 4-3 defense, and they're making Dom Capers run a 3-4 defense with 4-3 personnel. I don't like what they have for personnel in the defense for Dom. I just think it's not what they need.
All right. Since we don't have any true, false, or spread them questions today, we're going to do a couple extra Twitter questions here. So more bang for your buck. At C. Kersner asked, what would you guys do at running back? Who's your ideal 1-2 next year? And James, I keep going to you first, so I'm going to go to you first again. What would you do at running back next season?
I'm in the minority. I feel like I'm going to be way in the minority here, but I'm going to do it. If we can sign him for cheap or cheaper, I would love to have Eddie Lacy back. I really would. And I would love to have an Eddie Lacy, Ty Montgomery backfield. I think that would be it would be a very quality situation. You have the big powering back that can bust one open but is also knocking fools' heads off, and then you have Ty Montgomery coming in who's the more patient Le'Veon Bell type, not nearly as good but still in that same realm of runner who takes his time behind the line and picks and chooses his gaps, and it's hard to game plan for that. So, and he can also get out there and catch passes. That's what I would like.
Yeah, I mean, if you sign him cheap and he actually stays healthy, he's probably one of the best values in the league, depending how much you sign for.
Absolutely, and the staying healthy part is the real risk. That's what that, I mean, you know, he's had a couple of significant ankle injuries over the first 4 years, and he's a big guy, so those don't just go away. So that's the risk, but I would be willing to sign him if we get him for cheap and bring him in.
Asking Eddie to not get hurt is like asking me to not say something stupid on the podcast. Not happening. Chris, what do you think?
I kind of agree, but I want like super cheap Eddie Lacy. And the reason that is because not just injuries, you worry about his commitment to, you know, his own health and his own ability to stay in shape. As there was so much talk about how much Eddie Lacy had lost weight in the offseason, but when we saw him in the regular season, I wasn't as convinced that he was in as good a shape as he could have been. So I want Eddie Lacy and Ty Montgomery back cheap, and then, you know, take a flyer on somebody in what, you know, the fifth round, a young guy to bring in. And there's your three running backs. I don't know that Eddie Lacy is going to be a long-term solution. I think Ty Montgomery could be. You give him some support from a young guy. You get rid of James Starks. You have Aaron Ripkowski. You know, I'm okay with that backfield.
Jeremy, what say you?
Well, I think the answer is really simple. You trade Clay Matthews for Le'Veon Bell in a first-round pick. I mean, that's as simple as that. Yeah.
How did I think of that?
Yeah. No, you guys are spot on. I don't think – well – Maybe James, maybe we'll be in the minority with fans, with most fans, but not with this group here, not the guys on our podcast, because I think we all agree, Eddie Lacy cheap, Ty Montgomery is a guy that rotates in, and then I think they need to draft a guy in like the third or fourth round, and they need to have three running backs on the roster next year, but I think Eddie Lacy on the cheap is and should be the plan going forward.
All right, we got one more Twitter question here. At TotesMagoats had a bit of a lengthy question, so if you guys got a pen and paper handy, feel free. Otherwise, go off memory. He gives us a scenario. You are Ted Thompson, presuming you're still GM of the Packers. I presume. You have already cut Sam Shields and James Starks, and therefore have $47.7 million to work with in cap space to re-sign your free agents, as well as sign your rookies. Of the free agents, Cook, Perry, Hyde, Lang, Treader, Jones, Lacy, Michael, and Peppers. Which do you re-sign and why? And he asks, what free agents from other teams do you target instead? But are there, I guess, particular targets that you are looking at that you have to, like, absolutely have to re-sign? And James, I will go to you first once again.
This is a difficult one. That's just so many people. I think that TJ Lang, I think, needs to come back. He loves it here. He's Pro Bowl every year. I mean, he needs to come back. I would like to see Eddie Lacy re-sign for cheap, maybe on an incentive type deal. Give him, you know, a cheap base and a lot of incentives. I would like to see Micah Hyde back. I think he's earned a spot here with his play over the last 8 or 9 weeks of the season this year. He was phenomenal. Jared Cook, I think maybe, you know, is in the top two or three of that list. There's just so many of them, but those are the ones that I think right off the bat. And as far as free agents, we need a veteran cornerback, somebody in the defensive backfield who, and I don't know who out there is going to be affordable yet consistent enough to play. The one name that pops out as affordable and, you know, talented is Prince Amakimura from the Giants, but he's hurt all the time. So, I don't know. That's about as best as I can give you.
All right. Chris, how about you?
Yeah, I'm not going to be too far off. I think that my, my re-sign priorities would be Lang, first of all, because he's awesome. Second of all, because you got to learn from this year that investing in the offensive line just makes sense. And you look at Seattle and you realize what happens when you don't. So it would be Lang, Cook, because he really added such an amazing dimension to this offense. Lang, Cook, Hyde, and Lacy in that order. Again, Lacy, if you can get him cheap. As far as free agents from other teams, yeah, I don't know. It's a tough spot to fill through free agency, and you know, you wish. And I still believe it wasn't the wrong call. I wish they had re-signed Casey Hayward at this point, because we'd have a lot easier answer for ourselves. But I still don't think that was a terrible decision that they made at the time with the information they had available to them. But yeah, I don't know that I have an answer for free agency.
All right, Jeremy, who's a priority for you to re-sign?
I think. You know, the obvious one, TJ Lang, to me, is the obvious one, because when your offensive line was as good as the Packers had this year, you really don't want to break that up. bring Nick Perry back. He just started to play well in his position. Jared Cook showed that he could be a huge value to this offense. So you're going to bring him back too. Eddie Lacy, we already talked about that. And Micah Hyde, absolutely. And then as far as free agents, I've said this for the last few years because he's been a free agent every year. But Rolando McClain is a free agent once again. And now you could have an inside linebacker who can actually cover. And then, you know, he's going to come cheap.
All right, very good. Time now to get into the voicemails. We had a plethora of them from you fine people. And if you need that voicemail number, you can call us any old time you like during the off season. We'll be happy to hear from you. Area code 920-445-8876. Some people say it's 920-HICK-TTSO.
No one says that.
One person has said that.
I know one person who says it all the time.
One person says it's 920 hike TTSO. So pick a bandwagon. Hashtag hike TTSO or hashtag hike TTSO. They'll be spelled the same way either way. On that note, let's jump into the voicemails. We've got one here from Gary, Indiana. I'm presuming that's the city and the state rather than the name, but we will find out. Here we go.
I don't know what to say. This is not the same team, I guess. Well, we might as well congratulate Tom Brady with the fifth Super Bowl ring, because, you know, that's going to be a compelling story because he got suspended and all. But, I mean, it feels like they just don't want to be around for the Super Bowl or anything like that. Just, I don't know. The conspiracy theorist in me just feels like maybe they just don't want to see Trump at the White House when they get the rings and all that. So, I don't know.
A popular theory, actually, I've heard. Jeremy, your thoughts on that voicemail?
That would mean no Super Bowl for the next 4 to possibly 8 years. So let's hope it has nothing to do with Donald Trump. Hey, we're just not going to go there. But, dude, I don't know. I think they were just tired. And a couple of guys said that. They were just tired. Couldn't do it anymore.
All right. Chris, what do you think?
I think that call kind of captures how we all felt. Like, you know, what? I don't even know what I just saw, but it hurts.
That's right.
All right. James, do you hurt?
Not anymore. Honestly, give me that over 2014 any day of the week.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's not even a contest.
That still hurts.
Yeah, to this, the fail Mary hurts, and that was week 2 of the damn season. I mean, seriously.
You know, you're probably right. In the moment when it was happening, though, I was saying I'd rather they compete and lose at the end. But you know what? I'm going to forget this in 2 years, still haven't gotten over the fail Mary. And I don't know when I will, because it annoys me so much.
Well, again, let me ask you this. How many of you, if somebody put it on, could sit in a room and watch the game that happened on Sunday versus if someone put on the NFC Championship game against the Seahawks, I would leave the room.
I'd be so much more angry watching that Seahawks game. I would get so mad.
Right.
All right. Our next voicemail comes from Mansfield, Ohio, and let's see what they have to say.
I'm not going to go off as angry, you know, heavy swearing, just pissed off, well, maybe a little swearing, but this Packers season, I mean, there are some special things about this Packers season. They beat the Bears 2 games out of 2. They beat the Lions 2 games out of 2. They started the season 4-6. Then Aaron Rodgers turned into the best quarterback. They finished the season 10-6. They ran the table. They won their division. They beat the Giants, who have given them so many problems, and an absolute beatdown. They won a thriller against the Cowboys. Yes, the Falcons are kind of returning the favor from the Packer beatdown they went 6 years ago, where the Packers actually won the Super Bowl. We'll see if the Falcons do or not. The Patriots and Steelers are pretty tough. But let's remember, the Packers have 13 NFL championships. 4 of them are Super Bowls, so go Pack, go. The best is yet to come. Mic drop. Bart out.
All right, Jeremy, your thoughts?
He brought up some good points. One of the things that was most important to me this season especially when I thought they weren't going to make the playoffs, was that they beat the Bears twice and they tie the all-time record in the rivalry. And they did that. And that's great because next year they have a shot to take the lead finally. It's been a very long time that the Bears have led that. And the Packers have a shot next year now to take that over. So, yeah, some really good things happened this year. And, yeah, it sucked to watch them lose, but we kind of knew that they were that kind of team that could do what happened. We saw that defense play how many games, and we knew that they sucked. We knew it.
Hey, Chris.
That call made me want to, like, high-five my dog and go rewatch every game, so... Thank you. You know what? Yeah, that was a fun season. And the rest of the NFC North still sucks, and we don't. And we'll be back next year to compete once again, and the Bears will be back to figure out how they unload Jay Cutler, and you know the Lions will be back to figure out how they deal with meathead Matt Stafford, and the Vikings will be back with that stupid friggin' horn and nothing else. So yeah, you know what? Let's start training camp tomorrow. After that call, I want to start training camp tomorrow.
Very good. How about you, James?
Loud noises. Arr! Eat a steak. Yeah, no, I feel very, very similar. That call was great because it did. It reminded me of how much fun this season was. There were times where I hated everything about everything, but for the most part, it was, you know, especially the last 9 weeks were a blast. It was great. And like Chris said, the Vikings don't get a first round pick this year or a fourth round pick, and they'll have Sam Bradford. They'll have Sam Bradford as their quarterback next year until he blows out a earlobe or something and he's gone. And then the Lions have an aging dope at quarterback and nobody else on the team, and the Bears are the Bears, so the future's bright. I like where we're at.
All of James's dreams are going to come true because the Vikings aren't going to have Adrian Peterson anymore because they're going to trade him to the Packers for Clay Matthews along with a first round pick. They don't have any of those, so they'll have to figure something else out. But how do you feel, James? Adrian Peterson's going to be a Packer.
I feel like everybody in Green Bay should cut down their trees so there's no sticks around, number one. Perhaps Child Protective Services in Brown County should be contacted and given his address.
Hey, you know what? I saw that they were trying to figure out what to do with the Shopko Center. They could just set it up as, you know, child services, like a Red Cross rescue tent, but just like permanently child services. So,
yes.
So Adrian Peterson's in town, child services is in the Shopko Center, everybody's safe.
You know, I don't know if we've said this about Adrian Peterson before, but he's a real shithead.
No, we haven't. Oh, wait, we have. Somebody has.
He is a grade A first class shithead.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great. Jeremy's so mad at us.
I'm not mad. No, I. How can I be mad? Like, I could beat that out, but then, you know, I'm not going to censor reality like Trump. I'm just going to, you know, I'm gonna let it flow out the podcast. Okay, this is one the world needs to know.
Yeah, so I heard a can opening up a moment ago, and I have a pretty good idea which one of you it was. our next voicemail, I believe, comes from our friend Brandon. Also, I want to mention we did get a call from AJ in Maryland. Appreciate the call, AJ. The sound quality was kind of coming and going, cutting in and out, so we won't be playing that one, but we do appreciate you calling. Now, I believe this is Brandon from Nebraska.
Hey guys, it's Brandon. Just wanted to chime in on this historic day. Yes, we lost. And no, it's not a good feeling. It really hurts. I could sit here and probably criticize almost about everything the Packers did, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's not going to do me any good. I do want to take the time to thank you guys, you know, for providing us with great information regarding the Packers. and keep our spirits alive in these times of, you know, stuff going on throughout the season. Also, I want to thank the rest, besides me, you know, the rest of Packer Fan Nation out there. You know, I mean, I know there's a lot of people out there probably screaming and yelling instead of being thankful for how great the season turned out. I know we wanted a different result, but it'll be okay. Next order of business is to get the front office stuff all figured out. Find out if Ted Thompson's retiring. And we start worrying about the draft and fix that secondary. And hopefully we'll see what happens with Julius Peppers and wish Jordy a continued health. And, you know, hopefully this will be fuel for next year, as we'll probably once again be, you know, depending on how things go in the draft and stuff and, you know, spring training. But probably out before that, they'll everyone will make their picks on who they think we'll be able to, you know, we have the most to gain. But then we have to also face Dallas again. But I think we have unfinished business here, guys. All right, I'm out of here. Thank you so much for everything. And if you guys talk about anything else during the regular season at all or anything, I'll still chime in and listen to you. Just let me know. All right, guys. See you later.
Appreciate the call there. And I want to give everybody a big hug after that voicemail because, yeah, we're one big family here. A really, really dysfunctional family. That smells funny. One of us is drunk. And yes, you were saying, Chris.
We're like those four drunk uncles that you're worried are going to show up at your wedding. but on a somewhat serious note, the one pledge we have for you this offseason is that we will be here every week podcasting. Help us out. Respond to our tweets because you know what the offseason can be like, especially, you know, before we get to the free agency, before we get to the draft. So we'll be here every week. I'm sure it'll be serious football analysis every week, but hope you guys will stay with us.
All right, James, how about you?
I make this pledge to you now that I will come to this podcast every single week with a new adjective to use on Adrian Peterson. No matter where he goes or where he travels, I will always be able to call him a different name every week. Brandon, thanks a lot for calling in, buddy. Cheer up. It's going to be, like you said, it's going to be okay. We appreciate the thanks and everything. It's going to be okay. I have a good feeling about the years ahead.
All right, Jeremy, any thoughts?
I believe Brandon said that he felt like there was unfinished business. I feel that too, but it's not because of this season. It's collectively this season and the season in Seattle losing the NFC Championship there. There's definitely unfinished business in Green Bay. And I think that after this season, things have to improve. The defense cannot be as bad as it was this year. It's one of those things where it's like it can only get better from where we are. And, you know, we'll see how it goes. But I'm looking forward to next season already. Like, the loss sucked, but I'm excited about football next year. I'm excited about the Packers next year. And I think they're going to be in contention once again, and it's going to be a fun year.
All right, our next voicemail comes from our good friend Libby, or might be Lobby. I'm not sure which one we got here, but nonetheless, always good to hear from her, and here's what she had to say.
Good evening, boys. I am calling you from the Just on Rugby bathroom. It's a new place that I've called you from. Normally it's from, you know, a happier place because we've won. But here's my feelings on the game. I had some ups and downs, a lot of downs. Most of the downs were because everyone else other than Rutkowski didn't do their job. Not saying that Aaron didn't, do what he was supposed to. But as he was pushing towards the end zone, his one arm was ripped back, so he could not protect the football. So we can't totally blame that fumble on Rip. I know it sucked. The fumble happened, and they kept showing him. 15 motherfucking times on TV. But it's a team effort, right? So we're not going to blame Rick. We're gonna build. We're going to move on. We're going to play better next year. And we're still going to have him because, I mean, the Packers aren't stupid. We're going to keep him, right? I know you guys agree with me. All right. We'll talk later. Goodbye.
All righty. Always good to hear from Libby. And, Jeremy, your thoughts on her comments?
Well, I hope the Packers are going to have Aaron Ripkowski next year. Having him somewhere else would really hinder the new relationship that he's building with Lobby. I hear that your first date went really well. I'm really excited for you guys. And I hope I get an invitation to the wedding.
We better all get invitations, dagnabbit. Chris, how about what are your thoughts?
Oh, my God. I'm just thinking about Lobby, Ripkowski, and the podcast crew at a wedding, and I've got nothing else to comment on. That would be amazing.
Yes, live show.
By the way, dibs on buying them the toaster. Y'all can find your own gifts.
Blender. I call Blender. James, a Libby / Lobby Ripkowski wedding. What are you getting them?
I don't know, but I better be a bridesmaid.
That is a handsome wedding party.
I feel personally responsible for this whole thing. I feel like we were there, we watched the love blossom and bloom, and we should all be bridesmaids, really.
You know what, you're right, it should be the show. We should be bridesmaids. You're
look,
totally right.
I look amazing in taffeta.
Man, the long blonde hair and now this. I can't handle it.
I'm wondering what Chris's wife is going to have to say when she listens to this show.
Oh, don't worry. She doesn't listen.
Debating whether we should tell her that. Well, no. Okay. So we did have a second voicemail from Libby that she ended up asking us not to play. So we won't, but she did have a point that she made in there that she thought would kind of ensure that we wouldn't play the voicemail, and that was swearing a lot. And that in and of itself is not going to prevent us from playing it. But like I said, we're not going to. But I just wanted to make that statement before we get into our final voicemail for this show. Okay, brace yourselves, guys. This is a call from Illinois.
So here we go.
Oh, no.
What's up, boys? Me and my buddy K to 30 Rack. But this week it was not how we wanted it to end. I'm proud of our boys. I wish we could have been more competitive, but it was fucking bullshit. Why the fuck is Dom Capers still our defensive coordinator? Fucking bullshit. He fucking sucks. Fucking A. Get rid of him. Why the fuck is he still alone? Demarius Randall said, fuck. What the fuck? God, sophomore slump? Are you kidding me? This is one hell of a sophomore slump. He's been ass all year. What the fuck?
Crikey dingo.
God, ooh la la. And we're fucking losing guys left and fucking right. Of course we get blown out.
Girl with the dragon tattoo.
Dude, oh my god, and then we have Aaron Ripkowski, a humble born and savior these past couple weeks. He fumbled like 100 times to get him to touch the ball without dropping it. And dude, oh my god, I am so sick of Dom Capers. Our defense has been ass. It's been average or below average since 2011. 5, 6, fucking years! Our defense has been ass! Why the fuck is Dom Capers still around? Get rid of that mother...
Iron Sheik!
But on the other note, our offense is gonna be legit if we re-sign Jared Cook. So I'm looking forward to that. But
Tootsie Frootsie.
They ran up the non-taper! And the rest of the lackluster secondary! They took over for the last time!
What's up, come on, go!
And there is your proof that swearing does not keep a voicemail off of this podcast.
Oh my god.
That guy, that dude has, yes, he is forever known as 30 Rack. 30 Rack has way more energy than I would after K-ing a 30 Rack. That is ridiculous.
I would ask for a Bro to English translation on that, but...
No, I can't translate that. That was amazing. That is the single greatest phone call we've ever received.
And, oh, my God.
And I was listening to the first part. I was like, wow, you know, 30 Rack is bringing it. He's bringing the emotion. And then we just hit... We skipped fifth gear. We went right to sixth gear and hit... I mean, that
was like... It was like the Millennium Falcon taken off out of the Death Star. Just like zoom. And then he'd calm down and he'd be okay. And then he'd re-freak. And oh my God, that was great. Oh.
It was amazing. That was the best call. Best call ever.
Oh. Wow.
Yep. We should just end the show. That was so good.
Forever.
Forever. Last show ever. Yes. Thank you, 30K. 30 Rack, thank you so much. The show is over. We're never going to record another one ever again.
There's nothing we can do that can top that.
Oh. Special shout out to the editing crew on that one.
Now I understand why we started the show an hour late tonight, and guess what? It was worth it.
Totally. Totally worth it.
I felt like I was in a farm, man.
Kid Ink agrees. It was worth it. So now to contrast that opinion.
Oh, no.
We have another opinion. This one from Papa K.
And now it's time for...
No one comes into this house without paying a price.
Papa K's Nuggets of Wisdom.
Hi, this is Bill Kostofko calling a few hours after the Packers were smoked by the Atlanta Falcons in the NFC Championship game. No use spending a whole lot of time going over the game itself. We all saw what happened. I had a very bad feeling when Atlanta made all four of its first four third down conversions to take an early lead, and then there was a missed Crosby field goal, and then the Rutkowski fumble, and then the game was soon out of hand. But let's give credit to Atlanta. They are right now the better team. They're better balanced. They certainly are healthier, and they with the Packers today. Who knows what might happen if these teams play next year, but right now the Packers are a wounded team that got smoked today. Four things that I would like to see happen this offseason. I know there will be those who say, oh, there those fans go again with their knee-jerk reactions. But these are four things I'd like to see. Number one, I think it's way past time, and we've talked about this earlier in the year, for a more aggressive approach to talent acquisition, especially on this team's defense. That man is not Ted Thompson, in my opinion. It's time to move on from the talent acquisition that's drafted and developed with a lot of undrafted free agents. I think that kind of approach will get the Packers to the playoffs. I don't think it will get the team over the hump. I think many of us believe this. It's time that this front office had a sense of urgency about getting the talent that this team needs. Aaron Rodgers is going to be 34 in December, and while he talks about the fact that he has good years left, yes, that's true, but it's really time to capitalize on his talents before it's too late. I don't think Ted Thompson is the man to do that. The Packers are going to be drafting 29th in the 2017 draft. Who's going to rebuild that defense? Another Dayton Jones? Another Demaryius Randall? I don't disparage Ted's work at all in building this franchise, but I think it's time to move on if this team really is to compete for a championship and not just make the playoffs. I know it's great to make the playoffs, but we need a sense of urgency to win the big one before Rodgers is no longer able to play. Secondly, what I'd like to see, and I agree with so many others, I think it's time for Dom Capers to be either retired or to voluntarily retire. I know there were injuries, I know the defense lacks playmakers, and I know that there is a lack of talent at cornerback and linebacker, and that age is affecting Matthews and Peppers, but I join those who feel the Packers need to move on from Dom Capers. This defense needs an infusion of new ideas as well as talent. We can move on, I think, from bend and hope we don't break. I think it's time that this defense improves, and I think that starts with the coordinator in addition to an infusion of talent. A third thing I'd like to see is an answer to the question of why all the injuries on this team. Maybe it just seems that the Packers suffer more major injuries than anyone else, but it seems like three or four or five players go down every week. This seems to happen just about every year. Why is that? Mike McCarthy studied this issue a couple years ago, and we read stories about players like B.J. Roger getting into yoga, and such things. But we had this injury bug biting us again this year, and very significantly. Why is that? What, if anything, can be done about it? This really saps this team's energy and forces going to too many second-line players that just aren't experienced enough or talented enough to help the Packers to their ultimate goal of winning the championship. Finally, the fourth thing I would like to see, in addition to reasonable free agent activity, I would like to see Jared Cook re-signed. He was a real force with this offense once he got healthy. Rodgers wants Lang re-signed, and I certainly love watching him play. I just wonder if he is so physically beaten down that he might not have much left. But I hope T.J. Lang can be re-signed. Finally, today the Packers ran out of gas and were beaten by a better team. But the Packers gave us a great run, especially coming back from the dead with that 4-6 record. I think James summed it up very well in his quick slants on the NFC Championship game on the site. Read it, especially his section that begins, "I'm sad and angry." I think he puts the season in context and looks at the big picture very well there. So it's on to the preparation for the 2017 season. I'm looking forward to it already. Go Pack, go. Thank you. Good night.
Wise words again from Papa K. And Chris, we always go to you for your thoughts on what your dad had to say.
I agree, and I don't like to, but I agree with everything he said. I really do. It was a fun season. This team wasn't ready. This team needs to make some changes. And I think it does start at the top. I think it's time for Ted Thompson. You know, I just do. I really agree with everything. And I'm excited for next year. We'll be here all off season. I hope Papa K will have some nuggets of wisdom throughout the off season. I'm sure he will. And it may not be every week, but we'll see how often we can get him to call in. But yeah, it's a great, you know, great explanation, kind of a great encapsulation of the end of the season and kind of the emotions he went through and the realities of what this team has ahead of it.
All right, James, Papa K, the president of your fan club. What are your thoughts on his comments this week?
And the only member. I also agreed with everything he said, especially the part where he praised me. I thought that was pretty amazing. And no, I'm kidding. I think we've all touched on these things a lot today in the podcast here. I agree with everything he said. I think the blueprint's out there. It's up to the Packers to make it happen. And Papa K, I hope he calls in as much as he can throughout the offseason, because I'll miss it if he doesn't. I might move out to Pennsylvania just to be near him.
Jeremy, how about you?
I won't be moving to Pennsylvania. It's much warmer here in Arizona. So I'll stay where I'm at. But pretty much a mic drop from Papa K. Like, that was everything he said was spot on. It is a huge question mark why this team cannot stay healthy. They can't do it. It's not a matter of they didn't do it. They literally cannot stay healthy. Can't happen. You look at the Dallas Cowboys, look at the Atlanta Falcons, their offensive lines being what they were, being solid. I mean, the Cowboys having the best in the league. None of them got hurt. I mean, I think if any of them did, they were out for a small amount of time. Same thing with the Falcons, they said during the NFC Championship. They were all healthy all year long. That continuity is great, but you know what? That continuity would be great in other positions as well. The Packers are just beat up everywhere all the time. And it's something that I almost put in the sound off. The sound off was really long when I recorded it at first, so I cut it down. But I mentioned this. I've heard a couple of people talk about the fact that the Philadelphia Eagles and Chip Kelly switched to this Saturday practice schedule. And the next year, the Packers did it. Well, you know, you don't really want to emulate anything that Chip Kelly's doing, so that's a bad choice. But since they've done it, and they had injury issues in 2010, yes, but since they've done it, it's like they just aren't healthy. I think this idea that these Saturday practices are going to keep the team healthy, that's why they did it. That's why they did it, because of the research they did, showed them that if they were to do a small Saturday practice, that it would keep the team healthier. I think we have officially seen that that is not true, because this team is screwed up with injuries. It's ridiculous. That probably, to me, is the most frustrating part of this entire season. A really talented team that in the end just couldn't go any further because they were too beat up.
All right. And on that note, we wrap the Papa K segment for this week. We don't have a whole lot to talk about in true-false, except for the final results. I guess we can talk a little bit about last week. James?
Yes, sir?
I kind of hate you right now, so I'm not talking to you. Jeremy?
That's all it took, finally.
Pretty much. Jeremy, you did a pretty good job in true-false last week.
Thanks.
You see that guy James over there? He got all five right again last week.
You know, people that are close to me that I've heard from tell me that James was given 3 to 5 million true-false answers unfairly. It was a rigged contest, and I will be doing a study on it, but, you know, it is what it is.
It is what it is. The final results of the regular season true-false, specifically, James came in first with 45 out of 78 true-false is correct, which is rather astonishing in the history of this show that anybody could possibly finish close to 500, let alone over 500. Jeremy finished second with 36 correct answers. Chris took third with 34, and I, of course, got 33 because I know my role. What can I say? In the postseason, this is what disgusts me. James, out of 15 true falses, got 14 correct.
That's amazing.
That is quite an accomplishment right there. So I actually have to give a little credit there.
I hope one of your children take a baseball bat to your shins. Love you, buddy.
It got dark.
They will. I guarantee it. They will. It's inevitable the next time I tell one of them to do their homework instead of playing their video game.
So James took first in the postseason. Jeremy took second with 10 out of 15 correct. And Chris and I both got 7. I don't know how that happened. I did my best to get wrong as many of these as possible. And somehow we tied. So overall winner, of course, is James. Well done, James.
Thank you, thank you. It was luck.
You get absolutely nothing for that, but...
Yeah.
You know, you know what? Just like go to Goodwill and buy a sailing trophy and slap some duct tape on it. Just write like true false champion on there. So, yeah, spread them. That was the other thing we had to mention.
All right. Hands on the hood and spread them.
Spread them. We actually were remarkably close. Out of the five of us, and by five of us, I'm including the Twitter fans, who did not do so well this year, getting about five right, I believe. On the season, three of us tied with eight correct calls in spread 'em, and one of us finished with a record of 9-9-1, and that man was Chris. The man whose idea it was to have spread 'em, I would note.
This contest was wholly unrigged, for those of you who are keeping score. Completely fair, and, you know, the superior talent rose to the top.
That's his story, and he's sticking to it.
So 9-9-1. So if you're out there, members of the betting public, if you want to lose 10% of your money, you know, follow my picks every year.
There you go. So on that note, we have reached the end of the show, and I'm getting used to ending the show. But Jeremy, you're here, and it's your job to end the show.
You know what? You've done such a good job that I'm over it, man. You just keep doing what you do, and you go right on ahead, and you end the show. Take it home.
All right. First things first, we'll get through all this stuff. TitletownSoundoff.com is the website where, if you want to be like Papa K, and let's face it, who among us does not want to be more like Papa K? You can check out Quick Slants and What We Learned and all that good stuff over on TitletownSoundoff.com. There'll be more written stuff going up there all the time. Even in the off season. If you want to tweet at us, it's at TitletownSound. You can tweet any old time you want to. And we've all got our own Twitter handles as well. I'm at That's Our Bobbo. Bobbo spelled with three B's, two O's, because there's just one Bobbo. James, your Twitter handle is?
At JKSub20.
And Jeremy, your Twitter is?
At TTSO underscore Jeremy.
And Chris's is?
At TTSO underscore Chris.
There you go. And if you want to leave us voicemails, we'd love to hear from you there too. Area code 920-445-8876 or 920-HIC-TTSO or PIKE-TTSO, whatever you're into there. Also want to mention, of course, again, we have the Patreon, and you can rank us on iTunes. Chris, I usually throw to you for that information.
Yes, so please, especially now that we're on our own and, you know, we kind of count on you guys to follow us, to subscribe. Give us a rating on iTunes. Give us a nice review, 5 stars if you can. It really helps us. It helps people find the podcast, and it helps us become more visible. The other thing we ask you to do is visit our Patreon page, patreon.com/TTSO. On that page, you'll see there's a lot of perks for becoming a patron. One of them is that you get to be one of the participants in our games for the next season. So if you work up to that donor level, we'd love to have you as one of the competitors. But there are a lot of good perks along the way. We are going to do a bonus show for the Super Bowl. So if you are not a patron and you want to be and you want to get that bonus show, sign up now. It's going to be a lot of fun. So we thank you guys for the support you've given us so far. And you know, we hope it continues just in the way you followed us and subscribed and really helped us out.
Very good, and I guess this is as good a time as any to thank everybody out there. I guess we should do our special thanks, so we're not going to do our ending shtick just yet, but Chris, you touched on some things already. James, anybody in particular you want to thank before we sign off for the 2016 season as far as the Packers are concerned? We're going to be back. We're still podcasting. But
I want to just thank everybody for listening. You guys have been awesome. Your support's everything to us. We really appreciate it. And we hope that you continue to listen and help us grow and branch out. I'd like to thank Aaron Ripkowski for coming into my life in a way in a time when I really truly needed a man like Aaron Ripkowski.
You needed a fullback.
I needed a fullback to lead the way for me and knock people over and have a sweet beard. I'd like to thank Jeff Janis for not being on the field a lot. I'd like to thank the Academy for recognizing that. No, I don't know. That's about it. Again, you guys have been awesome. We appreciate it.
All right, Jeremy, anybody you want to add on that list?
Yes, absolutely. I want to thank you guys for holding down the fort while I missed for so long. I missed doing the show, and I missed hanging out with you guys. This is one of my hangout sessions every week, is to just hang out with you guys and drink some delicious beverages and talk about the Packers. So thank you for holding down the fort. Thank you to my wife for being so supportive with doing all this stuff. And you know what? Thanks again to you guys for helping me to lock down an LLC. We are now we have an official LLC, and also locking up the name of the website as well. So it's been a fun time. I mean, it's been so awesome to see fans interact and react to us, and thank you for keeping the Twitter account busy. Chris works really hard on game day and really throughout the week on social media, and you guys just make it fun. You make it worth it, and pretty much every week we're having a blast. Even if the Packers suck, we're having a good time, and it's because of you guys. It's because you guys make this thing worth having and doing.
All right. I know a few special thanks that I have. A special shout out to our good friend Libby, of course, for just being Libby/Lobby, as well as all of you who tweeted, who left us voicemails, whether we read your tweet on the air or played your voicemail on the air or not. We appreciate the interaction. Want to give a special thanks to Bill Kristofko, Chris's dad, for joining us kind of around mid-season or so and doing the Papa K's Nuggets of Wisdom. I'd also like to thank Michael Jones of Achievement Hunter for letting us use that.
God, this is such fucking crap.
That lovely drop
it's
right there.
Crap on top of crap.
I've had a lot of fun with that during the season. A couple people I'd like to thank for not taking any legal action against me this season. Katie Nolan being one. Got a little creepy during the bye week, I think. I went back and listened to that show. Chris, you're right. I am a creepy bastard. My gosh. Also like to thank the Iron Sheik for not breaking my back and making me humble. That goes for all of us, really. And I think that's about it for now. So.
I need to throw in a few more names. Just the guys at the website who write week in and week out. James writes every week. He does Quick Slants and the recap. Mark Darren. Darren Deer, I'm sorry, I never figured out how to say your last name, Mark.
That was smooth, Jeremy.
I did the best I could with the beers that I've had. Mark, you do a fantastic job at the website with what we learn, and Ferris every week with the breakdown. It's been great. You guys work really hard on this thing, and then Nick and Troy at Tundra Talk, thank you guys for putting in the work this year to make the content that people wanna read and listen to and share, and it's just been really enjoyable, and you guys have helped keep this website going.
Let's not forget thanking the guys at Packers Talk Network. They helped us out when we were a little podcast, literally, that got 30 to 60 people a week to listen to us. And thanks to them, our listenership was able to grow a great deal. And we still really appreciate what they did. We're going to be working with them, and you'll hear us on some of their podcasts as well.
I think it's Darnider. I got it. Mark Darnider. Okay, I still don't have it.
You pronounce it three.
You have failed.
Good job, Jeremy. yeah. So I think that's pretty much wraps things up. So, Jeremy, any final words for this edition of the podcast?
Mark Darn dear. Darn. no, I don't. I still don't have my little catchphrase, so I'll have to figure one out. So for this week, I'll just say, go Pack, go.
Fantastic. James, any final words?
I'd like to give a shout-out to Everson Griffin. And how's it going, buddy? Hope you're doing well. And thanks. Thanks again for everybody listening.
Chris, any final words?
Good night, Prince Janice. Forever?
Ooh, cliffhanger.
Cliffhanger, I love it. All right, I would like to remind everybody again to pet their cat. I would also like to thank our in-house band, Cataclysmic Shit Attack, for being... fantastic work that
Are we trying to stretch this show to an hour and a half? Is that what's happening?
No, I just wanted to give them their proper dues, you know. They brought us a lot of joy over here. Or at least the last few weeks. And on that inside joke, ladies and gentlemen, we wrap up episode 95. We will be back next week with episode 96 of Titletown Sound. Thank you for listening, and we will catch you next week.
The preceding podcast was a production of Productions Institute LLC, copyright 2017, all rights reserved.
Now for 17 years I've been going in back. 17 more will bury me. And somebody please just tie me down. Oh, somebody give me a goddamn...